This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I could go through a million names of guys that were picked later in the draft that maybe at the time there was like, okay, they didn't really need a corner, but they drafted this safety corner from Louisiana Tech, and then L'Jarius Sneed becomes an all-pro. So I think far too often we, and this is including myself, can get so enthralled with round one and what do teams need to do, and they need a defensive tackle or they need a corner, when I do think in a vacuum or in a perfect world, literally just picking the best available player is actually the best way to go about it, because as we know, rosters change so quickly in today's NFL.
Chris Trapasso on the Shelton Bulldog earlier this week. We'll get him one more time before the start of the draft, I'd imagine next or this coming Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm excited for the less speculative nature of draft coverage and
yes,
more
please.
What happened. Like
reactionary.
Yes, I cannot wait for that, because it's the same way we get with the NFL offseason. Oh, well, these teams, what are we looking like? What's going to happen?
I'm still so draft-pilled that I'm okay. I'm chilling for these next few days.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's leading up to the draft. The excitement's bubbling, but it'll be nice to have some hard evidence to look at and be like, oh, this was a good move, this was a bad move, or, you know, whatever happened. So for both the Bills and the league in its entirety.
Time for some brain rot?
Oh, God. I think so.
I think it's time for some brain rot.
Mock draft simulator, mock draft simulator. The Chiefs beat us too many times. Mock draft simulator.
Let's do it.
Bing, bang, boom.
Bing, bang, boom. Let's do this thing. We've got the simulator for the first version of this. Then you and I are going to run a mock draft of ourselves.
We're going to compare ourselves to the computer.
We're going to do this, get a warm up here, and then get to the you and I, the dual mock draft here today.
Yes.
So
unusually close together in the studio right now.
We are uncomfortably close, as a matter of fact. So when it comes down to it, it looks like through the simulator, we're going to go through ESPN on this one. The Titans, number one overall, Cam Ward, then Travis Hunter, number two, Abdul Carter, Will Campbell, Mason Graham. It pretty much goes chalk, I think, for the top five. We're not going to deviate much from this. For some reason, they have the Raiders taking Shedeur Sanders at six.
And Jeanty going to the Panthers.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea, but that's because the Raiders took Shedeur.
Membo at offensive tackle going to the Jets at seven. Will Johnson corner to the Bears at 10. That one will be one of the first off the board there. Tyler Warren at tight end to the 49ers. Really? With George Kittle there still? Hmm. Okay.
Maybe they're looking at an aging Kittle, kind of, you know?
The Cowboys make a responsible pick with Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Jones actually made a good pick.
Yes,
congrats.
Sure. Responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts with Jahdae Barron. Hey, that's kind of a BPA situation. Colson Loveland, tight end, going to Atlanta. They have Kyle Pitts, who doesn't really do much. Tet McMillan going to Arizona. Nick Emmanuel to the Bengals. Derek Harmon to the Seahawks. So we're starting to see some of the players that, you know, we're putting a little bit of a radar on. They're starting to go.
Yeah.
The Bucs take a running back. I don't know. Sure.
Kenneth Grant to the Steelers.
That's where Zach Jones's heart's going to get broken.
I
seriously think the Steelers are going to do that anyway.
I 100% agree. It's a very likely landing spot for him. So,
yes. Do note, of course, all these drafts, these mock draft simulations and everything like that, there's no trades. Our mock that we're going to do here, it's not going to be with trades.
No.
So, of course, all of it's going to go downhill. But again, this is an exercise to teach you what's going to probably be available. Probably.
I mean, you never know. It could be a draft with very few trades.
Yes.
So.
Shamar Stewart going to the Vikings at 24. Mike Green going to the Lions at 28. So pass rush starting to fall apart there. Malachi Starks going to Houston. Azurae Thomas going to Baltimore. What does that leave the Bills here at 30? In the simulation, well, we've got James Pierce, Donovan Isiraku, hanging around there. Maxwell Hairston as well. What are we looking at elsewhere for defensive tackles?
Walter Nolan,
but he's kind of a three-tech sort of player. I need that one tech. Darius Alexander's on my radar with that one.
Okay.
In this range.
We need a Jones replacement.
Yes.
A Daquan replacement, yes.
Edge rusher, there's a couple of those options, like I mentioned, with there's Zaraku and Pierce.
What are we looking at?
Corner. Trey Amos, Maxwell Hairston, Benjamin Morrison, probably more of your second round, along with Darian Porter and Siobhan Revelle.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, that's pretty much all you're looking at around here. Wide receiver Luther Burden is available.
Luther Burden. You know what? Whatever. Why not?
Let's do it. All right.
Luther Burden.
The simulator. Through the machine, we're taking Luther Burden.
Drafting player. It's spinning the wheel of death right now for some reason.
So there's our warm-up. You ready to do this?
Mm-hmm. We took a wide receiver with the first pick.
But honestly, it's about the player, less about the position.
Yeah. I think you can get a good there's a good depth of defensive tackles.
And wide receiver is also still a need for the Bills.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Tennessee, number one. I'll kick things off, which means that ultimately number 30 will go to you.
Okay.
So I'm going to have the Titans. They'll take Cam Ward.
Okay.
We'll be simple about this. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine the Browns, Joe?
The Browns, I would say Travis Hunter, they
all
take.
Right. We're going chalk here. Abdul Carter?
Yeah. I would say, honestly,
it's between Campbell and Graham.
Yeah, they're taking Will Campbell. They're not going to let Drake May get... They're going to hope Drake May doesn't get busted up this year.
And very quickly, Jaguars, Mason Graham?
Genty for the Raiders.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think I've thought that for a little bit. I think the Raiders picked Genty.
All right. I'm getting the easy ones right now. Membo, offensive tackle from Missouri, going to the Jets.
Shadur falls.
Shadur is currently falling as number 8 to Carolina.
Carolina.
I feel like this screams Will Johnson.
It does scream cornerback out of Michigan, Will Johnson. And I think we're screaming something else right now for New Orleans, maybe.
Oh, this is probably going to become Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Tet McMillan? Or do you look at something else? Like, there's a lot of different options.
There are, but at the same time, I'm kind of looking at Sanders. Like, Derek Carr might be injured. You could have a face to your franchise at quarterback if he works out the way he's supposed to.
Or do you tank for Arch Manning?
That's also a possibility. I don't know.
The prodigal son. Especially because Archie Manning was a quarterback for the Saints.
Yes, you're right.
All those years ago.
Do they do that, or do they actually just draft Sanders? I think they might just draft Sanders.
Oh, wait. It's my pick. I'm taking Tech McMillan.
Oh, okay. Sanders falls further.
Ooh. Chicago.
Chicago. Chicago.
This probably speaks like a Kelvin Banks offensive tackle sort
of
thing.
Yeah, an offensive tackle.
Or,
sure.
or Jalen Walker, edge rusher out of Georgia.
No, we'll take Kelvin Banks Jr. Shadur continues his descent. Down to pick 11.
11, we're in San Francisco, and I think that this is going to be relatively... This is where the first domino falls. Mike Green, edge rusher out of out of Marshall. This is probably where Green will end up going. Number 12, Dallas. How spicy are you going to get?
I'm
going to...
I think Dallas might take...
Be in the mind of Jerry Jones.
Yeah, I don't ever want to be in that mindset, but... you know what? Let's go. Texas A&M will keep him in Texas. Shamar Stewart
going there. All right. Number 13, it's the Miami Dolphins. And
Do they get a Tua insurance policy in Shadur?
No. Miami is interesting to me because of the fact that they have a lot of needs. This is where Bills fans are going to start like eyebrows raising. Derek Harmon's going to go.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Because they do actually need these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the Colts, 14.
We're going to take Tyler Warren for the Colts. Nice tight end. They need that.
Our friend Trevor Howard would be very happy with
this. He would.
Did you see the mock draft released by 92.3, the Fan?
I was producing yesterday when you guys were talking about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Unbelievable.
This is where Atlanta would be taking a quarterback, by the way.
They do what they did last year with Michael Penix. I mean, it worked out for him.
Sure.
I guess, right? I don't know. It's my pick, right, for Atlanta?
No, this is an odd number.
It's you.
I'm taking Mykal Williams out of Georgia, though. That's a pretty easy one there. You got a Georgia product staying home in Atlanta. Arizona at 16.
Can we scroll down a tiny bit for these guys? I'm looking for maybe an edge for these.
Edge rusher?
Yeah.
Edge rushers, you're probably looking at the next one being Nick Scorton or James Pierce.
We'll take Nick Scorton. They need an edge rusher in Arizona.
By the way, Jahdae Barron is currently falling.
Yeah.
That fall ends in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good pick for Cincy. If he falls that far, that should be the pick.
Yes.
Let's see.
With Seattle, they always need help on the offensive line.
Yeah.
The problem is there's not much available there. I mean, there's probably guys like
Tyler Booker.
Tyler Booker, Josh Simmons, probably your best options.
We'll take Booker.
Guard out of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got Tampa. Shedeur Sanders, still falling, by the way.
Yeah. Unbelievable. We're down to pick 19.
So is tight end Colson Loveland, a player that was expected to go in the teens here.
Yep.
Meanwhile, when I've got Tampa Bay
needing some defensive help.
Jahdae Barron goes two picks earlier. I'd imagine in that situation, Tampa Bay is probably scraping and clawing their way to try to get up there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for me, Malachi Starks is probably a great idea here, and they're going to have Tampa taking him there. Jalen Walker still on the board. Shedeur Sanders still on the board. Matthew Golden, Colson Loveland, Nick Amonwori, your best players available.
Let's look. Can we look at some offense here? Running back, maybe for Denver. I think they need some help there.
Wide receiver still one that I would imagine need is there. Matthew Golden available would probably help out with that.
Yeah, might out of Texas. Sure, Golden to the Broncos.
Matthew Golden is the selection now. Pittsburgh. Shedeur Sanders
has fallen.
Has gotten to Pittsburgh at 21.
I see that as a very likely landing spot for him if he's there.
I could just be a jerk right now and have him take Kenneth Grant.
No, don't do it to Zach. Don't do it to him.
No, Shedeur Sanders has fallen to 21. I think that's value.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh would be able
to
walk away.
Pittsburgh needs a quarterback.
Walk away happy.
They leave Aaron Rodgers. We'll have to ask about that in the next segment. Mm-hmm. If Shedeur were to fall down to pick 21.
Yes, John Ledyard would be able to answer that and more.
Yes. Okay, so Chargers. Need a defensive tackle, possibly.
Wide receivers on the table.
Yeah. Can you scroll down a tiny bit for me?
Yeah, of course. You're looking at a couple of needs. I showed you everything.
Yeah, I'm looking at Egbuka.
Mika Egbuka from Ohio State.
Yeah, the Ohio State. We'll grab him.
All right.
We'll grab him there.
Green Bay, Jalen Walker's fall ends. This is enough. Enough's enough.
The Vikings. No quarterback here. If they do that. Wasn't that one thing that
happened?
That
was on that Cleveland draft, yes.
Yeah, the Cleveland draft. They need a safety. Amonwori's on the board. They're taking him. I'm sorry.
Ugh,
I know everyone in Buffalo wants him, but if he's available and a safety is a need, he's getting taken. There's no question about that. That's fair.
The offensive line on the Houston Texans is an absolute disaster party, and I think that this is a great place to go with Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, Ohio State, hanging around there. The Rams were linked to Jackson Dart.
They were, but I think.
Are you calling shenanigans?
I'm calling shenanigans because I'm going to take a linebacker. I'm taking Campbell.
Jahad Campbell from Alabama there. Mm-hmm. All right. Now we're getting close to Buffalo. We're four picks away here at 27.
We are.
And there's a lot of things that the Ravens could do here.
Mm-hmm.
None of them really seem to conflict with Buffalo all that much. I think that they'll want to go ahead and bolster their offensive line. But at the same time, there's plenty of different ways that they can go about everything here. Ugh, I don't know where I would want Baltimore to go if I'm them. I think sometimes best player available sort of things happen and James Pierce is falling.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I mean, I'm looking now.
Detroit.
Detroit is up next.
Detroit could use an edge rusher. They could use secondary help. This is where players like a Hairston or Ravel are possibly going to get taken. A Zaraku.
I would say Zaraku might be the best one on the board right now for their needs at edge, but also I think a safety would be solid.
Safety is not a viable option at this point now. Amonwori and Starks are gone.
Yeah. Yeah, let's take Zaraku then.
Boston College edge rusher off the board. Oh, boy. Yeah, no, I'm going to go ahead and upset some people probably with this. I'm going to take Maxwell Hairston for Washington at pick 29. But now the Bills are up.
Will Howard, hammer it home.
I hate
you. Just kidding. You know who's there? Kenneth Grant. Kenneth Grant at 30 for the Buffalo Bills.
Kenneth Grant there. Kansas City is up next.
Oh, boy.
You know what? I'll let him take Walter Nolan, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss. And then Philadelphia to close things out.
Need an edge rusher, guard. for the tush push. They got to keep that alive.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were looking at offensive linemen a lot here, but also corner is another thing. Maybe that's where
Revelle?
Like Siobhan Revelle probably would go or something like that.
Yeah, it might be.
Ezra Thomas, another option there as well. All right, there we go. There it is. The whole first round there for you.
Yep.
It's not totally on drugs.
No, it's not. It's actually a pretty solid the first
notable,
round.
The notable ones, Jahdae Barron falling.
And Shedeur falling to 21.
Colson Loveland out of the first round, by the way. We had one tight end taken.
Yep.
And I think that has more to do with the position more than the talents at that point. But, you know, there's always a surprise that happens falling out of round one. Shedeur Sanders falling to 21.
Yeah.
We don't know where Sanders is going to end up. And Pittsburgh is one of the biggest targets.
They need a quarterback.
The Bills passing on Luther Burden, by the way. So Luther Burden ends up in the second round.
Yep.
And other players like that.
So, I saw Kenneth Grant. I couldn't pass Kenneth Grant. He was there at 30.
You needed Kenny G.
Yeah, Kenny G. He was there at 30. I had to grab him. There's no question.
So there you go. That is our unofficial mock draft. We will not post this. And if you paid attention throughout the entirety of it, then that's how you know our mock draft.
Yes.
But there it is. The last time we're playing this music for the season.
Yeah. It's... you know, another trip around the sun, another mock draft simulator under our belt.
The Chiefs have won too many times.
Yep.
Mock draft simulator.
That still stands 100% true from the song's conception.
Mock draft simulator.
Last year. It is pretty, upsetting. that lyric is just there, and it's still burning a hole in our heads. But
it's my fault, so I can't really say that.
Yeah.
I pitched the idea to you, and you were like, yeah, we're all in. So.
We had to.
Yep. This music, by the way, is from Forklift Simulator.
You showed me that video.
An actual video game.
That's where
the song.
The idea came from,
The idea came from something from like a Game Grumps playthrough on this, and then the song was mixed and made for it. But this music is actually in the game.
Oh, really?
Forklift Simulator.
Oh, that's crazy. All right.
So that's why. All right, there we go. That is the end of Mock Draft Simulator 2025. End of an era.
Next year, we'll be back.
As Adam, a slow tear down his eye as he fades it down.
Trickles down his cheek. His rosy cheek, because he's all upset. I know I am.
But again, the exercise on this is players that are going to be around there, like a Siobhan Revelle, Luther Burden, Maxwell Harrison, Kenneth Grant, Donovan Isiraku. These are names that are going to be hanging around the Bills.
I think we've really gotten to the point.
The big one that I think needs to get taken sooner from our mock is Jalen Walker.
Yes, yeah.
But I think Skirton went a little too soon. Walker went too late. But again.
Are you at BPA? Because I think that's essentially what we're doing here.
We did a little BPA on this one, but at the same time, we were trying to fit needs based on these teams as well. Jahdae Barron falling to 17 might be probably perfect for them. Perfect to like where Cincinnati would get a player like that. They need defensive help in the worst way. I think Barron's a good addition there, and I do think it's possible that Barron goes ahead and falls like that. So... Tet McMillan going at pick 9 is another highlight there. There's a lot to this. I'm interested to know. I'm going to screenshot this and save this for our records to see how well we fared compared to round one on Thursday night.
Yes, that'll be a good exercise.
So we'll save this
for
next
week. Yeah,
it'll be a nice exercise for us next week just to see just how bad we did as a combined effort.
Next week, more like 2 weeks from now, because it's going to be
That's right. We're going to be doing day 3 next week at this time.
Yep.
So it will be 2 weeks from now that we will see our results.
Yep. But
it'll be fun.
I think it's going to be good. Will be similar to that. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think we went too above and beyond and overboard. I think we
and
were pretty
concise. And
something
Joe DiBiase and I talked about on Thursday was the betting odds for the top 7 is these are the favorites.
Yeah. We went scratch the top.
Yeah, we went chalk to start. And it was Carolina where things start to really, when it comes to the betting odds on the picks, that's where things kind of go in any direction. There's no real favorite at that point. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited. I really am excited for the start of this draft on Thursday. I can't wait to be here. I say this now. I can't wait to be here all weekend next week to do everything with the NFL draft because of the fact that I really have gotten a very deep dive within these first three rounds in particular and round four of players that I would really like to see within the Buffalo Bills.
I can't wait to see your attitude at round seven.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, like, we're not going to go. I am getting ahead of myself, but I do feel confident in that. So, yeah, there's a lot of players here that I would love to see. I have my big board here that you see right here. I've got my draft targets.
Mm-hmm.
A new one was added to the list. Deion Walker, defensive tackle from Kentucky.
Okay.
I do think that that's another one of those, like, day two, maybe he falls into day three, and the Bills can have a chance to get him early in round four.
That's not a bad pick. I like that. I like that. So, it'll be interesting to see what the board looks like on those later
what
days.
What the board looks like, and not to mention what it's going to look like throughout round one. I can't wait. I'm excited. I'll have Nate Geary and Zach Jones for those first 2 days. You will join us when Nate leaves.
On the third day.
During day
three.
I'll
be floating around writing the articles all weekend, too. So we'll be in the thick of it. It'll
yes,
be fun.
We will be here for it. And continuing on our draft coverage, we'll talk with John Ledyard coming up next here on WGR.
I think we're going to have this long conversation. I've flown across the country. And 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something, and he leans to the edge of his seat and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback. And I was kind of shocked. Now, not shocked because I didn't think that was a possibility. Listen, of course, they want to move on. That's totally fine. But shocked because I just flew across country. You could have told me this on the phone.
Oh, man.
Cry harder, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I don't want to, you know, I'm not a big media attention guy, yet here he is crying on national television, pretty much.
And, yeah, sure, I'm interested. Do you realize how casual that sounds?
I could tell you exactly how he said it. They asked him, do you want to play football next season? He goes,
even if it was in that direct cadence.
He does the little lip pucker thing. He's like, I'm interested. That's exactly it.
Even if it's the direct cadence that he used it on the McAfee show, that's not good enough.
No.
All right, so we've got plenty of NFL draft to talk about, and we've got a chance to do so. We did ourselves a mock draft. We run the mock draft simulator. And now I get a chance to talk to someone that is one of my favorite people to talk to, and it's been too long since I talked with John Ledyard. Audibles and Analytics Pod, Read Optional Pod, Rookie Review Pod. He is everywhere. He is knowledgeable. He's one of my favorite people to talk to. John Ledyard joining us on the West Hur Hotline. John, it's Derek and Joe. First of all, it's great to talk to you again, my friend.
Hey, great to talk to you guys, too. I mean, especially this week. You know, we always feel like we always chat around this time every year. And so I'm excited to see what this week's going to bring for Buffalo.
Why? What's happening?
Of course. Just a little small event.
A little small event. And by the way, follow him on Twitter at Ledyard NFL Draft, because that's what's happening here is the NFL Draft. John, plenty of drama to start in the opening part of the round. Plenty with the Steelers in particular, the Bills picking at 30. There's a bevy of options and directions I can go in with where I want to ask this. And why don't we start where it will start? I mean, we all think that the Titans are going to take Cam Ward. He very shamelessly plugged away that Treylon Burks is a number four wide is the fourth best receiver in the NFL on a stream. So I think it's as good as writing it in ink. That Ward's first, but what is Cleveland going to do at number two? Is it Travis Hunter? Is it Abdul Carter? And how much mystery can be behind the number two overall pick?
I don't think there's too much. I think they're going to draft Travis Hunter. That's kind of sort of what's out there, definitely what I've heard when I've checked in with people in the know is that that's where people are leaning toward, assuming anyway. So I don't think it's as much. I mean, I think it really is a bigger question at four, kind of what's going to happen with the rest of the draft and when the quarterbacks are going to go. That to me is when the real intrigue starts, and that's probably where it should start too. I mean, Hunter and Carter are easily the best two players in this class, and you know, I'm the guy that would be contrary. If it wasn't that way, I would tell people, but I think they're clearly the one and two guys. So I think that the second and third teams in this draft are looking out pretty good.
So let's talk about the quarterbacks, because the Steelers at 21 are absolutely a team that needs to think about that sort of scenario. I mean, I don't know if they're going to run into the season with Mason Rudolph at quarterback. We just played the Aaron Rodgers clip, so I don't know what's going on there necessarily with Rodgers and Pittsburgh. But what's going on in Pittsburgh that you're hearing and you're feeling with the Steelers, not just at 21, but under center in general?
Yeah, they just kind of had one of the worst off seasons we've ever seen, I think. And if they weren't the Pittsburgh Steelers, it would be more roundly discussed, I think, and they would be more roundly ridiculed if they were one of these teams that has a worse reputation and certainly a worse history. But the Steelers have been riding that rep for a long time, and they have been a franchise going nowhere for quite a while now. And so I think they deserve lots of criticism for the way they've approached the offseason, for sure. They're still trying to push and still trying to win now, you know, calling about Matt Stafford, these kind of guys, and that's the objective for them. So from their objective, that was their goal, and they have probably the worst quarterback, one of the worst quarterback rooms, certainly probably after the draft, will be considered up there and with the worst quarterback room in the league. And so can't win a Super Bowl, can't compete now without better players at that spot, obviously. I think there's a decent chance Rudolph could be better this year than what version of Aaron Rodgers we get. I know that sounds ridiculous to people, but Rodgers is just afraid to get hit when he's on a football field. Like, it was obvious last year when he was the Jets, he was falling off his throws all the time. When the conditions are perfect, obviously Rodgers is better than Rudolph, but it's really hard to play quarterback in the NFL when you're going to be scared on 25, 30% of your throws in the league. You're just going to be under pressure. So the bottom is always kind of waiting there to fall out with Rodgers. And that's why I don't think it's a great loss if he doesn't ultimately decide to be with the team. Who knows how long he'll play the games that he's playing. But I think that ultimately, even if he doesn't decide to go there, like, they're going to draft a quarterback no matter what his decision is, I think, at this point. And it's because they just kind of waited it out for this thing that very well may not happen. So even if Rodgers were to say now, yeah, I'm playing, I want to sign with Pittsburgh, I don't think there's any way you could feel super confident in the fact that he's going to be locked in by training camp still, that he's going to still want to play, that he won't change his mind again, that he won't ask to not be there at training camp like he did last year. And so it was just a foolish in the first place to wait and go after him and let these other options go by. And now you've sort of got to draft a quarterback in the first round, and you're picking at 21. Just a terrible place to be in from a process standpoint, especially in this quarterback class. Just, they put themselves in a really hard spot, but now they don't have a second round pick. They almost have to draft a quarterback in the first round now, which is almost unheard of when you're drafting at 21. So it's a tough spot to be in, and they're certainly going to reap what they've sown here.
John, it's tough looking at the Steelers there, but you also do plenty with Tampa. And the Buccaneers, they do have a lot more stable of a quarterback position there with Baker Mayfield. They did have themselves a little bit of a rough season, but still playoff bound nonetheless. What do you think Tampa needs to do here, sitting at, I do believe it's pick 19. What are the biggest needs that the Buccaneers have on the docket as well?
Biggest need is linebacker. They just need probably two guys who can play, and they're probably not going to get there. I mean, they've got Lavonte David. Anthony Walker's been an okay backup, so they signed him. Servisia Dennis comes back from the shoulder injury that cost him most of last season. So I think they feel like they've got some enough options they could go into the season with those three, but David, just, you can't get to the point in the season, like at this point in his career, where you're saying he's got to play every snap. So that really is the biggest need. I think right now, if the season started, they would need him to play every snap, or that linebacker room would become the worst in the league. And even though he's still good, it's falling off for him too. I mean, he's going to be, what, 35, 36 this season. And so it's just, nobody keeps playing linebacker at that high of a level at that age, I think. So they are limited in that space on their roster. Will the draft, you know, this, I don't know if this is a great linebacker class, guys. Like, I know there's some hype, there's some upside, certainly there's some athletes, Carson Schwechinger, and I think Jihad Campbell as well, but when you watch the tape, it's like, you know, how pro ready are these guys? It's such an instinctual position, it's such a mental position, and the traits matter, but you know, the Bucs kind of dug themselves in this hole with Devin White before. It's one of the few bad picks that they've really made during the Jason Light era. And so, you know, I think that when you look at things from Tampa Bay's roster standpoint, defensive back and linebacker are the two big positions that jump out. They've really kind of given themselves a good edge rusher room with the signing of Hassan Reddick, bring back Anthony Nelson. They drafted Braswell last year. Obviously, Diaby is still the number one guy that's currently on their group that they like and that will start. So I think they don't need to go edge. If they go edge rusher, which I think is very much on the table, it's very much an indication to me that this team is going to move somewhat away from its, obviously, Todd Bowles, you know, known as one of these unbelievable blitz heavy guys. And I think that would be a sign that they're willing to move away from that prototype, and that they're willing to really explore what it looks like to be a dominant you know, rotating four-man rush group, you know, similar to what Philly's done and honestly what Buffalo does and, you know, what Baltimore's done, what Kansas City has, Kansas City's blitz, but they've also in the playoffs, they've really relied on these four-man rush groups, the 49ers, like all these teams that have had lots of postseason success. You know, the Bucs have had it, and when they did it against Mahomes in that Super Bowl, they hardly blitzed at all, and they've realized we need to get back to that. We need to be a team. Yeah, we're going to blitz, but we need to be a team that has another card to play. We need to be a team that gets better pressure with four and doesn't have to rely on scheme so much to do that. And I think they feel like they have some of those options on the interior, and they need another guy on the edge. That's what the signing of Reddick does. That's what the drafting of Braswell hopefully will do in year two. So I think that's their plan. So if they take an edge in the first round, it will be a big indication to me that we're going to see some significant schematic shifts under Todd Bowles, which doesn't happen very often around the league with many defensive-minded coaches. So it would be kind of an interesting sub-storyline to the draft.
John, for Buffalo's sake, sitting at pick 30, the conversation's kind of shifted in recent weeks, I've at least felt. At first, it was hammering a defensive lineman or cornerback, no other option. And now it looks like those classes are relatively deep enough where wide receiver's starting to creep into the conversation at pick 30 in round one. Where do you think the Bills go at pick 30?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, man. I don't think that they will take just one position. I think they will really try to be best player available with their approach. I do think that they have to look at their group last year and look at the playoffs and how things end and say we have to find a way to get better pressure with four. I think it just has to be such a priority for them. Now, you can't typically when you're drafting that late, when you're picking at 30, it's like, well, okay, ahead of you, you know, six of these guys are going to go maybe. So do we want to kind of bank on the fact that we're getting that seventh best guy, if that's, you know, how their board sees it? So I think a guy they love would have to kind of fall in that range to them. There are a lot of body types in this draft that are very similar to what the Bills typically kind of take at that position. I mean, I think Landon Jackson has been probably one of the more tabbed players to them at this point, like just in terms of the process, people talking about how that could be a potential fit. Certainly culturally, based on the prototypes that they've drafted in the past, I could definitely see that. I like Landon Jackson a good bit. You know, that's a little high to me, but, you know, that's that position, it definitely matters a lot. So that could be a way they go. Another player, Ollie and I just talked about this on the Read Optional podcast, actually in relationship to Buffalo. I think he brought it up, but, you know, Trey Amos just is such a Billsy fit. Like, he just, the way he plays, the physicality, but also the fact he can play in a lot of different techniques. And McDermott's really a guy that's expanded and changed his scheme over the last couple of years and adjusted really well. He's probably one of those few defensive coordinators, as I said, that's really been way more evolving than we kind of anticipated or than he was early in his career. So I think that part of it for Amos would be a good fit because he's shown he can play lots of different techniques. He can play zone and man. He can be a trail guy. He can be a guy that spot drops and drives on the football. He'll tackle and play the run. And so there's definitely a lot of things that remind me of a Billsian type corner when I watch him that I think he could be of interest to them too. So we'll see kind of what direction they go in. There's certainly wide receiver options. I would say if Golden, McMillan, and Igbuka are all off the board at that point, and obviously Hunter, I would say there's a pretty decent drop-off to the next guy. I like Kyle Williams a lot. Luther Burden has this great upside. I don't really think he's a Bills type of player. So to me, I think it drops off. I know some people really like Jalen Noel. Some people really like Jaden Higgins. You know, I would say I'm much lower on the rest of the class. So it sort of is beauty in the eye of the beholder. The Bills kind of have this mixed history wide receiver where I don't know if they haven't done as bad as other teams have done, but they really haven't done, like, you know, is Gabe Davis a miss? Like, he did get paid. He helped them at times. You know, I mean, Shakir, it took forever. Now he's blossomed. And so, like, you know, what's Keon Coleman going to do? I think they've tried and they haven't really found a star through the draft. And so I think they might have to feel convinced that, like, somebody really good is there. And the way I see it, if the board falls as expected and those top, you know, four guys, counting Hunter, are off the board, then I would have a little bit of skittishness about taking 130.
John Ledyard joining us here on the West Her Hotline, the NFL Draft Round 1 starting on Thursday night. John, I do think that the Bills are also a little bit lucky here. Joe already mentioned it and hinted at it, that some of their needs are some of the deepest positions at this draft, including defensive tackle in particular. But my big question now is about this quarterback class, because it has a chance to really have a little bit of an influence this year, even though it's not touted as well as last year's when we saw six players go in the top 12 picks. What is this quarterback class to you? Does Shedeur Sanders fall? If so, where? And is Jackson Dart really a first-round commodity?
Yeah, I think that Shedeur Sanders, I guess I'm not even sure where consensus is on him, so I apologize. When you say fall, I would say he still goes in the first round. I don't know that I would bet that he goes in the top 15. I think he's still – somebody's gonna trade back in the end of the first round for Dart, and if Sanders falls down, maybe for him. I think the over-under, in my opinion, should be set at like 2.5 for the first round, and I would say I would lean toward the over in the 3, but I don't think it's going to be like 3 juicy, you know, like 3 top 15, top 20 necessarily. I think you could see 2 in the 20s. It could be one of those kind of odder type of drafts, or perhaps somebody does trade up to get one from that range. You know, I mean, I think it's been talked about the Rams. They're always really aggressive for whatever they want to do, even though it's not like they need a quarterback right now. If they fall in love with the guy, you know, and they're not going to wait, they know the Giants and the Browns and others are trying to get back into the first round and jump them probably to get one, they could move up. So you could see something like that, but I don't know that anybody in the top 15, I know everybody talks about it for the Saints. I'm not convinced that they'll do that. Yeah, it doesn't mean they won't. I'm not convinced that they'll do that early in the draft, but they could be one of the teams trying to jump up into the back end of the first round. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of trades in the top 10. I bet there's some movement happening after that where teams are trying to manage the board and get up when it doesn't cost quite as much, if I was going to guess. So I think you'll still see 3 in the first round, but I don't think it'll be the traditional way you see 3, where 3 go in the top 10, and then it's a big break until whoever takes the next one at the beginning of the second or something like that. I think you'll see a bit of a different configuration this year.
That's kind of that's the action I like to see, John, especially with last year when there were next to no trades and the Bills made 2 of them to exit the first round. I'm pretty sure I think the Bills had half the trades of the entire first round last year, and it was they moved back twice.
Yeah, it's definitely – this doesn't profile the draft for a lot of people are going to be making the big move to get up the board for sure. But I do – like I said, I think there will be action by the end of the first round. I think it'll be one of those where we're halfway through the first and like, wait, where – is anybody going to move? And I just don't think that's going to be the case. This draft has so little high-end talent, guys. It has a lot of depth. There's a lot of guys who will play and help your team. But I just don't think we're going to get many, like, multi-all-pro type of seasons out of this class. And teams, I think, feel that way, too, and are going to be pretty cautious about trading up in the first, at least, and giving up big-end assets because they're not going to want to give up future assets and better drafts. And in a draft like this, there's a ton of value to having a lot of picks, rather than just having one big one at the top, unless you're getting Hunter or Carter, in my opinion. So I think that's kind of how it shakes out.
John, it's been too long, but it's damn good to be able to talk some draft with you again, my man.
Always a pleasure, guys. I really appreciate you having me.
Next year, we'll work on getting you on a couple times and a little bit sooner as is.
Absolutely, guys. Whatever you need, I'm here for it.
Absolutely. But thanks, one more John. Thing before you go, John. Let everyone know where to hear your work if they are draft junkies like yourself.
Yeah, if you like draft stuff and you like really in-depth, you know, kind of nitty-gritty analysis on each of these prospects, really, Audibles and Analytics is the name of my Substack. And so you can subscribe there. So there's a lot of free content, too. But if you want to get all the stuff behind the paywall, you get access to everything that I do for $5 a month. Or for $50 for the year, if you'd prefer to do it that way. But yeah, just lots of draft content in the season. Ollie Connolly and I do an NFL podcast that we talk about all the teams in the league, really. So the Bills are covered pretty extensively in there as well. We've had a lot of big, you know, macro conversations about the Bills and the way they've been built and all that kind of stuff on that podcast. So if you're interested in that stuff, team building and then player evaluation in the off season, lots and lots of draft stuff. We've gone position by position, released podcasts for each position, talking, you know, 10, 15, 20 guys in each at each position group in the draft. So if people are into that kind of stuff, I think we get into the weeds, and I think it's the type of content that's pretty unique and hard to find everywhere, but I think people would really appreciate it if they care to subscribe for it.
All right, John. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time, and I hope you have as enjoyable of a day as we will have here with the draft and that weekend as well.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. John Ledyard joining us there on the West Hur Hotline as we do one last deep dive into the NFL draft.
Yep. I'm going to have to check out his stuff for Will Howard. See what he says.
See if it's on there.
Yeah. That was very insightful, though. And honestly, as someone who's not as in depth into the draft as you are per se this season, who just knows the first couple rounds, I think it might be good to actually go check that out because it might inform me a little bit about later rounds. And I think everybody.
When draft Twitter became a thing, like John was one of the big faces of it. I mean, his handle on Twitter is at Ledyard NFL Draft, by the way, at Ledyard NFL Draft. So, yeah, no, John's been doing this for a bit. And again, we just ended up, schedules weren't working to a point where, like, it's been a couple of years, but it's good to hear from John and be able to talk ball with him once again.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I think, you know,
let's have ourselves a draft week. Let's have ourselves a weekend.
Yep. And speaking of, we've got a lot more to pedal through here today. You thought this is the final timeout. You thought wrong. We're here for a few more hours. We'll be right back, though, on the other side of this break. I'm Joe Cali. He's Derek Kramer. Evan's on the board. You're listening to WGR.
Thanks for tuning into the standard portion of Sports Talk Saturday today. Joe Cali driving the ship today. But now it's time to get into full-on hockey mode here. The Sabres locker cleanout is continuing here. Within the second day, we will carry everything live and local for you up until the end of Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff speaking today. That is approximately estimated for 4:30 this afternoon. But thank you to our guests from earlier in Peter Millett Jr., as we talked about Buffalo Pro Soccer, and of course, John Ledyard, who we just spoke to about the NFL draft. More Sports Talk Saturday coming up in a bit, but coming up next, we'll hear from a lot of the Sabres defensemen. Rasmus Dahlin spoke yesterday. Today, Bowen Byram, Matias Samuelson, Owen Power, all speaking today, and we'll get all three of them and some more coming up on the other side. Sports Talk Saturday continues on with a special edition here on WGR.